Blessed Spirit.
Worship at Hollywood United Methodist Church on this Pentecost Sunday. We are glad that you have joined us here in person and online. Please rise as you're able for opening hymns.
Thank you. invite all the children to come on up before we go off to children's church. We have our children's program today and our youth group. So all children and youth are welcome to join today. It is good to see you all. We have some very fancy princesses up here, I see. Wow, that's amazing. Happy Pride. So let me ask, has anybody ever heard the phrase, a little voice inside? Have you ever heard that phrase? Yeah, Annalie, you've heard that? What does that mean, the little voice inside? How would you describe what that is and what the little voice inside does? Anybody have any ideas?
I think the little voice inside is like the little voice in your head that says, no, don't do that, do that instead.
That's exactly right. It's exactly right. It is this little voice. It's a little feeling. It's a little nudge that says, we should do this or we should not do this. And one of the things that we celebrate at church is when God gave people that little voice, which we call the Holy Spirit. And that's today. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It's the day where we celebrate that God gave us this big gift, not a little gift. It's a big gift that often is a little voice or a little nudge. Have you ever had a time where you felt God saying, you should do this, you should not do this? I have that voice all the time, right? Sometimes it's like, I want to be angry. And the Holy Spirit, that voice will say, calm down, slow down. Or I will see someone in need and I'll say, I want to help them. If someone falls down and knocks their head, I want to help them. Or someone on the street seems in need and I want to reach out. That is the Holy Spirit working in us. And we're so grateful that God gave us that gift, and that's what we're celebrating today. We have a whole bunch of fun things planned for children and youth this summer. And I know that some of you are growing up. Some of you are moving from elementary to middle school. Isn't that right, Marilee? And isn't that right, Ezekiel? No? Yes? Are you going? You are? Yes. You went like this, and I was so confused. So
and some that are going into pre-K.
Oh my gosh, who's going to pre-K next year? Yeah? So are you going to pre-K? That's exciting. So it's really exciting. So this summer, we're going to be all together. We have a couple things going on, Vacation Bible School. We're going to have a water day. We're going to have a church picnic. We're going to play at both churches, both here and at Harmony. So parents and families out in the narthex, there's a little pride card. It just has a happy pride that we're celebrating, and it shows all of our summer activities coming up for the summer. So we're excited about that. So let's pray, and then we will head off to Children's Church, okay? Let's pray together. Heavenly Creator, thank you so much for our church family. That is a place where we can come and reflect on who you are, what you've done for us, the gifts that you've given us, and including the gift of the Holy Spirit. I pray that each of the children here that are watching at home online, that are part of our church family, can continue to get to know that Spirit in them that you've given them, to guide them, speak to them, that we would learn to listen and feel and know your voice in us. And thank you for that gift. May it guide us to do your work and your will in the world. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
As we head off to Children's Church, I invite you all to stand and pass the peace of Christ to one another.
Hey, y'all, let's give some peace to our friends watching from home and our friends in the balcony who helped make this service run so wonderfully. Peace be with you. We love you. We can't wait to see you in person. I invite you to take your seats, to center yourself, and take a deep breath as we enter into the wonderful time of prayer during our service, led there by our incredible choir. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Pour over us, ignite a spark, stir long smoldering embers into a burning flame. Holy Spirit, come. We long for direction and confidence on our path as we seek to be the peaceful change makers you have invited us to be. The world is waiting in anticipation for a new tomorrow where love reigns and joy is for everyone. Holy Spirit, come. Be with our denomination as it struggles for discernment. Grant clarity and wisdom and courage so that together we can reject the enticing powers of oppression and instead choose the liberating power of love. Holy Spirit, come. Send your spiritual gifts over our church. Heighten our senses to the needs of the world and embolden our service here in the heart of Hollywood as we challenge the brokenness of the world with Christ's love. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Fill us with your presence, inspire us, ignite us, stir our hearts. On this Memorial Day weekend, we offer you, dear God, our remembrances of those who have sacrificed their lives, those who have fought in wars, those who have struggled to help us hold on to our freedoms and liberties. We mourn all who have been lost to the ravages of war. We mourn war. We pray for peace and transformation in places where war is raging. We pray for cool heads and wisdom and discernment in places where it could happen. We are grateful for the sacrifices that have been made so that we might know a variety of liberties in this country, the freedom to speak our minds, the freedom to love whom we choose, the freedom to challenge brokenness and oppression where we see it, the freedom to strike for a better day in our workplaces. All of these things we know come from sacrifice, and we pray that you will help make us people who honor those sacrifices by engaging in the hard work of bringing justice to all. We offer you now a moment of silent prayer in memory of all those who have served and all those in need of prayer right now in their life. God, on this powerful Pentecost Sunday, on the birthday of the church, we offer you our joyful thanks for our congregation and the community we have built, and for the many more who will come to us one day. Help us to continue to be a place where all are welcome, where people can find a place to call home. We offer our gratitude on the birthday of our butterfly Bella, 17 years, and for all of our young people as they continue on their path facing graduations and matriculations, advancements this year. We pray for healing and comfort to those who are sick and those who mourn. We continue to lift up Carol and her healing and Richard. We pray for Jamie Jasmine, who is in the hospital this week, for Trish and her family, and for our beloved brother, Pastor Mark Stevenson and his family, on the loss of their mother, Miriam. May she know peace on her journey to glory. All of what we have, everything that you give to us, all this love in our life we know comes from you and your son, Jesus Christ. And so now we offer to you the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
All right. Happy Pentecost Sunday, everybody. Is that something we say? Happy Pentecost. Thank you for spending some time on this Memorial Day weekend with us. We appreciate you being here. It's nice seeing all your smiling faces in person. Let's start with our check-in code. Everyone, get those phones out. If you are new, if you would drop in your email, I actually look, and even if you put in the comments, I'm new, I'll just send you a little email, say hi, introduce myself if we don't get to see each other today in the courtyard. And also prayer requests. Any prayer requests that you have, please put them in there. I collect those every week and we pray over them as a pastoral staff. Today, not a lot is planned. So if you would spend some time in the courtyard, Dan has made some sweet treats. Get to know somebody new, and we have the welcome table all set up out there so you can see all the different events that we have planned or coming up over the summertime. I just added this real quick, but I just want to say thank you to everyone who did the community walk last week. Our team, or our small group that works on homeless ministries, got together, made some sack lunches, about 100 of them, and took up all our blessing bags and 50 blankets that we got donated from the Hilton Garden Inn up the street and gave everything out. So it was a real blessing for everybody to be able to work together, and we just want to thank everyone who spent the time Sunday doing that. So, yeah. Thank you very much. Okay. Pride, all right, we've got a lot of things, and some things just changed this morning. So, first of all, if you go to hollywoodumc.org, pride-parade, you can get all this information I'm going to tell you, but we are planning or putting together all the decorations on Saturday before in the gym. So if you can do that on the 10th, come at 11 a.m. for a couple hours, because we actually don't get the bus until Sunday. So Sunday, 6:30, we are asking if anyone can volunteer to load the bus. We're going to take the bus to the point that we have to check in at 7. And we're going to be there for about 3 hours before the parade starts. And that's when other people can join at 9:30 at Sunset in La Brea. But we have a lot of time to decorate this bus thoroughly. So it's a double-decker bus. We've got some great signage, some balloons. We could really help use the help. And also, I brought props. Today, we just got these in. So today, these are the Pride shirts that we have with both church logos. We're selling these for $20. They come in all sizes. And since I have to go to Harmony for a meeting right after church, Jan and Robert are going to be helping me out at the welcome table. So if you have $20 cash, we're just doing cash today because we do have electronic. We'll take credit cards next week. But if you have cash, you can definitely get a shirt today. We'll be selling them for the next 2 weeks if you want to pick up one. Other than that, I know that was a lot of information, sorry. Just to put this on your long-range calendar, Father's Day barbecue and choirchella. What is choirchella, you may ask? Well, Sunday the 18th, we are doing what I like to call barbecue and a show. It's the last day that the choir is in their larger form. They transform into the summer choir. But they want to entertain us, so they're going to do some show tunes, some just tunes in general. I'm not really sure what's being planned, but it'll be a fun time to have some food up in Grant Hall, as well as, like I said, a show by our choir. Put that on your calendar. All right, fun for the whole family. Don't forget that. All right, so like I said, just stop by the welcome table after church in the courtyard, and we can get all this information to you if you passed over it. You know, all that we do here is made possible by you, with your prayers, your presence, your service, and also your financial gifts. So as the ushers come forward, and we put up a QR code for electronic giving, please give as generously as you're able so that we can continue to do ministry here in the heart of Hollywood. Thank you for being here.
from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 3 through 13. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed," and no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except for the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them to everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit of utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. We are all made to drink one Spirit. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Morning with Rance Collins. I'm Rance Collins. Hold the applause. Today we will be discussing Pentecost. What exactly is it? Well, according to the scripture, it is the 50th day after Easter. It commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit on Christ's apostles while they were in Jerusalem celebrating the Jewish festival. Suddenly, a loud wind came to the apostles, and tongues of fire hovered over above them. They started speaking in foreign tongues, which, by the way, means foreign languages. I had to Google that earlier. It's not important. This was the miracle of the Holy Spirit coming to empower the apostles as prophesied. We got some great guests this morning. We got Suzanne Dodd here of the Christian Journal, Emily Redenbach of the Methodist Digest, Evangeline Kelly of Pentecostal Monthly, and Ryan Shervington of the Spiritual Ledger. Now, I am fascinated by speaking in tongues. I can't wait to get into this conversation. Have any of you experienced it? Anybody?
Well, I don't talk about it much, but yes, I have spoken in tongues. It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
So, can you teach me how to do it?
No. Oh. It doesn't work that way. It happens when you simply cannot contain the thrill of being visited by the Holy Spirit. But there's more to it than that.
Oh, okay. Well, Suzanne, over here, what is your take on this? Can you teach me how to speak in tongues?
No, I can't, Rance.
Oh.
But I do know that people still claim to speak in tongues, but I always thought that was just for the disciples on that day, that it was a gift to them. But that's just my take, Rance.
I think it's a form of hysteria. Mm. I mean, when a group is stirred up in a frenzy by a charismatic pastor, all kinds of strange behaviors can come about.
I don't think you understand. I have never spoken in tongues myself, but I've witnessed it. It's real. Oh, I wish I could receive that gift.
But tell me, can you make it happen for me?
Perhaps if you pray in earnest, it for the gift. Maybe it'll come to you. Maybe.
Okay, pray. All right, cool. Hold on.
Oh, boy. I knew we'd be discussing this, so I looked up Jesus' opinion of speaking in tongues. Oh. He said, "He who speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues."
But, like, what better way to prophesize than to speak in tongues? I mean, it's pretty impressive, right, guys? That's a sure way to get people's attention.
Rance, yes, Pentecost is not just about tongues. It's about the gifts of the Spirit, and that's just one gift.
Actually, there are seven blessings of Pentecost: wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and the fear of the Lord.
These are the gifts that are available to all of us from the Holy Spirit.
The point is, on the original Pentecost, there were tens of thousands of people in Jerusalem for a Jewish festival, for a harvest celebration. When the Holy Spirit descended, the apostles were witnessed by many of the celebrants in Jerusalem. And that was the beginning of the Christian church.
Well, what gifts have you all received? Does a killer smile or cheekbones count?
No.
Yes, Rance. But I believe that the Holy Spirit gives both big and small gifts. And in my own life, I think the Holy Spirit helps me with my work and my relationships. So I believe I've received all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, even though I don't speak in tongues.
That's a shame.
The Holy Spirit is always giving me the spirit of guidance and courage.
I mean, can I have his number? Emily, yes, what is your gift that the Holy Spirit has given you?
Well, I tend to speak to Jesus, and, well, I guess he sends me the Holy Spirit, just as he did his apostles. I do get a lot of counsel and guidance.
Okay.
I suppose my greatest gift is the gift of tongues. It first came to me when I was quite young, a teenager. I was praying very hard for my sick grandmother, and suddenly I was speaking in a language that even I didn't understand.
Well, did anyone understand you?
Well, although I've never spoken in tongues myself, I do have the gift of interpretation.
This is it, guys. All right, you're going to speak in tongues. You are going to interpret. Go.
No. Again, it doesn't work that way.
You can't conjure the Holy Spirit. It sends us the gifts we need when it sees the need.
Okay, but I need it.
No, you don't. Okay.
Then I suggest, Rance, that you pray for it.
Yes, and know that we all contribute to the ministry of Christ in our own individual ways. Maybe it is your cheekbones. We all exhibit gifts from the Holy Spirit.
So, okay, but what exactly is my gift? Do any of you know what it... Are you... Wisdom, yes, that's my gift. Glad we got that cleared up.
I have been lucky enough to receive many gifts from the Holy Spirit. A very powerful resource.
Okay.
I think that for some people, the Holy Spirit's just an afterthought.
I don't think it's an afterthought. But I never learned as much about the Holy Spirit as I did about Jesus. And for me, it's all about the Savior. But this has been very enlightening. I'm starting to understand that the Holy Spirit is a gift from Christ. It's a powerful tool, if you will.
Christ, Holy Spirit, as a power tool. That's an interesting thought, right?
Well, like Black I like that.
Me too.
Yeah. Well, this has been a very interesting session. I learned a lot, and I hope all of you did too. We all come about interpreting Pentecost in different ways, but if we look closely, the Holy Spirit comes to us in many ways. So, I still want to speak in tongues. Okay. So, we can...
Pray about it?
Well, okay, pray.
Yeah.
Get back to you on that. Thank you all for joining us, and tune in next time when we discuss how Jesus would celebrate Pride. My guess is that he might join the Pride bus with Hollywood United Methodist Church, which you can learn more information about that at the welcome table if you'd like to sign up. I don't know, just a guess. Happy Pentecost, everybody.
If you remember nothing else from this morning, remember this phrase, the Holy Spirit is a power tool. Thanks to the worship and arts team for reminding us of God's promise of the Holy Spirit being with us always. Now, many times you'll hear the celebration of Pentecost described as the birthday of the church, and technically that's accurate, but it's more than that. So I just want to do a little refresher course on the Christian year. On Christmas, we celebrated the birth of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Then in Epiphany, we learned about Jesus' baptism and his call to ministry, about the gathering of the disciples and the direction and shape his ministry would have. During Lent, the season of Lent, basically mid-February and March, we focused on the last months of Jesus' ministry, the way the religious and political authorities were threatened by his presence and the ever-increasing number of people who were following him. Then during Holy Week, we remember Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, his gathering the disciples into the upper room for the Last Supper, his trial and conviction, his crucifixion and burial. And then on Easter Sunday, his glorious resurrection, showing us that death has no power over the grace and life that Jesus offers to us. Then in the past 50 days, during Eastertide, we have seen how Christ relates to his disciples. He's dispelled their doubt. He's walked with them, broken bread with them, and reminded them that he's not going to be around much longer, that they need to keep moving forward. Finally, Jesus gives some final instructions to the disciples, and then he ascends into heaven, leaving the disciples in charge of building the kingdom. Which brings us to today, Pentecost. Since about the second century, Christians have celebrated the coming of the Holy Spirit 50 days after the death and resurrection of Jesus, with the descent of the Spirit being the birth of the church. Here's how the Gospel of Luke describes the day of Pentecost. Suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where the disciples were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. With rushing wind and tongues of fire, the apostles experienced the presence of God on the day of Pentecost. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and then sent forth to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through acts of love and grace, compassion, and hope. Flames of fire rested on each person gathered at that first Pentecost, no matter their background, no matter their ethnicity, their social status, because they believed in the power of the risen Christ, the flame of the Holy Spirit was upon them. Today, Pentecost Sunday, we need, family, to believe in the power of the risen Christ and to know that the flame of the Holy Spirit is upon us as well. We need to see Pentecost as something that not the Spirit didn't just do once a long time ago. We must understand the power of Pentecost comes in what the Spirit is doing in our lives and our community today. As United Methodists, the ability to seize the power and the flame of the Holy Spirit is part of our DNA, and it's represented in our logo. Our founder, John Wesley, was having a difficult time back in May of 1738. He was having trouble figuring out what God was calling him to do, even questioning if God was calling him at all. He'd returned to London from the Americas, where he had a really bad breakup with a woman, I'm just saying. He didn't want to go to church one evening, but he did on May 24th, 1738. And at his lowest point, Wesley had what is known as his Aldersgate experience. He wrote, "In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society on Aldersgate Street. About a quarter before nine, while the leader was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed." That's a catchphrase for all United Methodists: have our heart strangely warmed. You see, the Holy Spirit can and will warm our hearts, but it will also change us. The flames of Pentecost aren't just a sign that the disciples are excited or empowered. They're a sign that they are being changed by God's presence among them and with them. The question for us today on this Pentecost Sunday is, are we ready to be changed? Are we ready to be molded by the Holy Spirit? We know our world is ready for us as Pentecostal, Pentecost-ish, however you want to use that as an adjective, Christians to be filled with the Spirit. Now, in today's epistle lesson, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, a church that was blessed with faithful members, but also had a whole bunch of turmoil and dissension. They couldn't get along at all. They argued about absolutely everything, from politics, to who was qualified to receive the Lord's Supper, to how much secular culture was really appropriate for a church member to participate in. But most troubling to Paul was when some of the church members insisted that they were more spiritual than others because they possessed certain spiritual gifts others didn't have. And since Rance was like wanting one particular gift, that's the one that they thought was the most important. In the Corinthian church, that gift of tongues had become all the rage and had become the mark of the most successful spiritual gift to be given. So if you didn't have that gift, the people who did would just flat out claim that God didn't love you as much. You were not as good. And Paul writes to the church and says that's foolish. He was not going to have any kind of that gamesmanship. He told the church in no uncertain terms that each person is a beloved child of God and that all spiritual gifts, no matter in what amount they're given, are important to the work of building the beloved community. Paul wrote, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. Paul also told the Corinthians that we don't get spiritual gifts just to improve ourselves. We receive spiritual gifts to improve the entire community. Not all of us are preachers or teachers or given the gift of healing or, again, I'm sorry, Rance, given the gift of wisdom. That's Rance's character. That's not Rance, just be clear. But when we are given, no matter our gifts, when we choose to make our lives an offering to God, we will each uniquely glorify God and simultaneously build up God's kingdom on earth. That is a fundamental truth about Pentecost, because the Spirit is upon us despite our differences. We're able to discover a deeper unity with one another. The late Marcus Borg wrote that Pentecost undoes the Tower of Babel as it brings back together the broken and divided community of humankind. In the ancient world, there was a utopian ideal of one universal language, and this story offers an intriguing take on that dream. The Spirit of God rushes in to empower lots of people to do something astounding. What was that something astounding? To communicate effectively with each other. Bridges were built, and they were crossed in a heartbeat. And the differences among them, instead of dividing, provided a startling illustration of just how great the power of God is. The great preacher Thomas Long reminds us that the gift of Pentecost is the gift of something to say, a word to speak in the brokenness and tragedy of the world that is unlike any other word. Did you notice what had happened to the church when the Spirit was given? It stood up and it spoke. And in the words of the senior pastor emeritus and civil rights activist, the Reverend James M. Lawson Jr., who at age 94 was present last Thursday at the breakfast where our own Pastor Bridie was named a giant of justice by Clergy and Lay United for Economic Justice. Reverend Lawson wrote, we must learn to work and to struggle, not simply for what we see in front of us. We must work that we might be citizens of a country that has not yet appeared. So family, if we believe in Pentecost, if we believe that the Holy Spirit works within us, then we too are called to stand and speak, to give others hope, by being authentic witnesses to the power of God's grace in Jesus Christ. And that means with our words and our actions, we will share the good news of Christ's love. So in your row, if we do this right, there will be fewer empty seats and more seats filled in each row. At a minimum, that means understanding that there are 25,000 people in our immediate community right here around this campus whom we have identified as our mission field. Folks who have a progressive theology, who are mildly churched, meaning they grew up in the church, and the church either left them or left someone they loved. But yet they are desperate to know God, to know that God loves them, that God wants them, that God has called them to be part of a community committed to healing and changing the world. And thanks to our brilliant audiovisual and production team, who knows how many more are online with us at any given time in the week. Now, to faithfully serve both this immediate mission field and the one that's online with our words and our actions, there are several things that we need to do. First, we need to understand, as Harry Emerson Fosdick from the Riverside Church said so well, that if we are willing to light a fire, we must take the risk of being burned ourselves. If we reach out to our community, we reach out to our mission field, we risk being rejected by them, or even worse, we might be rejected by our friends. We may be called delusional for having faith in this unseen God who died and rose again to give us life eternal. But I believe with all my heart, if we are willing to fan the flames of faith, to share with our friends and our neighbors that this is a community of faith that embraces and affirms all God's children with no exceptions, we will indeed build the beloved community. And no matter what our particular spiritual gift is, we can all light a fire in our own way. Last week, we wrote postcards to the LA Unified School District Superintendent in support of our choir member, Alicia Arbayo, and the hate that she had received from transphobic parents when substitute teaching in the Valley. A week or two before, many of us emailed the Dodgers to protest their decision to disinvite the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence from their Pride Night recognitions. I'm glad to say that the Dodgers apologized to the sisters and re-invited them to Pride Night, and the sisters have graciously said yes. And because I get to talk about the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, it gives me a moment to share my favorite picture of my husband from a few years ago. I know. It was actually more like 12 or 13 years, but that's okay. Now, the next thing I want us to really grasp hold of, and this is not something I typically recommend from the pulpit, but I want us all to do just a little retail therapy at Target this week, okay? Specifically their pride items, and I brought an example of a beautiful pride chair that will go on the bus for pride, but this is available at Target. $24.99, not bad. There's lots of things in all price ranges. But let the company know that you stand with them in offering inclusive and affirming merchandise, because they have begun pulling some because of protests. Don't just go buy something. Buy something loudly. Pick it up and say, "This is great." Talk to the managers and say, I want more of this. Tell them you want more. And tell them you want them to offer this all year long, not just in May and June. Remember, do good. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay, this time, in this particular case, this retail therapy is doing good. But we really open, when we open ourselves to the Spirit that is all around us, claiming us not just today on Pentecost, but all throughout the year, and calling us to speak, we speak with the voice of God's all-powerful love that promises to be with us always. So go forth this day remembering, no matter what your spiritual gifts are, the Holy Spirit is a power tool. Amen. Thank you. some dancing out here, I'm telling you. Following the postlude, Pastor Bridie will be offering communion. If you would like to receive, you don't have to be a member of this church or of any church, just the desire to receive, please come and make your way to the first two rows, and she will offer that sacrament for you. And you can get your Pride t-shirts in the courtyard, as well as some wonderful goodies and some great coffee. Go forth this day knowing that the Spirit resides among you, within you, and surrounding you, leading you to discover what your gifts are to bring folks, other folks, closer to God. So go forth in peace this Pentecost Sunday. Amen.